Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Patrice Brantley Show, where on this show, helping others is the name of the game, and where we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Y'all, I am all the way over in Ireland today. Y'all see this thing getting big, right? Ooh, it's moving on up like George and Weezy. I am here speaking with Ms. Fairlith, and she's going to share with us about burnout. I got to tell you, I am so excited about this because this is something that everybody is going through now. It's not something that's happening in the past. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. This is now, and we want to walk into talking about how did this happen, what's going on, and just get a little bit of what you're doing to help yourself avoid burnout. But y'all know how I like to do. I'm a little nosy. So what's your story? Tell me about your childhood.
My childhood? Oh, wow. We're going very far back. how much do you want to know? So I grew up in South Africa. I'm living in Ireland now for the last 20 years. But I'm actually South African, so I grew up in South Africa in a small little town. My mom and dad divorced when I was young, so that kind of forms part of my story and where I am now. But did well in school, you know, by the grace of God, was a good learner, went on to finish high school, and you know, just always knew that I'd probably end up going to college, you know, and get a degree and do something with either in the hospital, you know, work with people, help people. So ended up getting a degree in occupational therapy. I'm probably skipping my childhood very, very quickly there because I'm now in college already. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
But this is cool because you're sharing that you knew, one, that you're South African, and that you've actually moved over to Ireland, been there for the last 20 years. We'll dig into that a little later, y'all. I want to know more. Okay, y'all know how I am. I'm nosy. And then what I love about it is that you shared that you knew you were going to be doing something to help others, something to help people. And for you, was that something that was a passion for you, knowing that you wanted to help others?
Yeah, and I mean, now looking back, I'm thinking, how do you know at 16 what you really want to do? You know, I just knew I wanted to be in the health profession. You know, I didn't think I would do the, you know, become a doctor, you know, spend 6 years in training. It had to be something shorter. So, for some reason, I leaned to occupational therapy. Anyway, I ended up studying occupational therapy. So, I'm just thinking, you know, how do you know really at the age of 16 what you want to do? But it set me on the path that I ended up, you know, being and still am.
So let's go a step further. In this,
but I think that links in. I think that links in with the yeah.
No, you're saying it.
I think it links in with the frustration I feel now. The frustration of the current situation in my job, where the focus has shifted from, you know, I'm frustrated in not being able to work directly with people because of, you know, just the systems. And I know we're going to talk about it in detail, but I've, you know, the opportunity to actually directly work with people is decreasing because of other workloads, you know, on our time. But in me is still the need. I want to work with people and help people, you know. So
so it sounds like the passion is to work with the people, but the job has changed and shifted to more administrative, which is aka paperwork. I think for so many of us, I know that was for me too. I'm the person that I love working with people. I love that interaction, that connection with people. And so many of us during this time of COVID, it seems like that interaction has lessened a lot Like it just really dropped. And how do you keep the passion for the people when you're not getting a chance to connect with the people? How does that work for you?
Well, you know, I was just thinking that even that the times that I do connect with them, I make the most of those times that I do have that direct contact. You know, I make sure that, you know, it's not just quick in and out, but I spend time to talk to the person, to make sure that they feel heard, you know, and so I make sure that that interaction is quality interaction, you know, even though it's not as, the quantity is not, you know, it's not as much anymore, but to make sure that those interactions that you do have, that they're quality interactions, you know.
So the reason I wanted to bring you on was to talk about your burnout. So, because I know so many people are experiencing this, and you're actually in the field, you're in it every day, keeping up with procedures and changes. And, you know, when all of this started with COVID, it was so rapid and so fast that really people had no grasp of what it was, how it would affect people, how would hospitals change. In your space with the occupational therapy, how did you handle these rapid changes coming at you?
I suppose, first of all, we were, you know, at the beginning of COVID, we, because we're not on the floor, we're not the frontline staff, we are seen as essential staff, but we're not on the floor as such. So we were advised to work from home. So even that whole shift then from not being physically, you know, seeing the clients, but just more doing from the home, just that whole shift of a different way of work, you know, it took nearly 6 months to just do that shift and then get used to this, that different way of working, you know, working from home was just a laptop and wherever in your home, you could set up a space where you could function, you know. And then of course we came to a stage where we then had to shift back out of the working from home to go back, you know, to once, you know, people were vaccinated. So I think it's just been a lot of shifting. And I think people are so burned out by now from having to keep, you know, shifting routines and new ways of working. Also, I said, obviously, there was more paperwork around calling ahead of time to make sure that there were no symptoms. And, you know, you could go to see when we did have to go and see people for direct intervention or assessments, you had there was more paperwork to complete. It wasn't just a case of, you know, make the appointment and rock up, you know, you actually had to there was risk assessments, you know, we had to complete risk assessments before we go out. So that has reduced now, thankfully, but for a lot of us, you know, then doing the risk assessments before we go out, calling before we go out, and all of that was for a good reason. It was to keep people safe, to keep the individual safe, to keep us safe. But it just made processes longer. And then obviously just even just things like the PPE, the constant changing of PPE. And
now, for those who don't know, explain what PPE is.
Sorry. PPE, so it's protective equipment. I can't even remember now what the other, I'm so used to just calling it PPE, but it would cover basically the mask, the apron and gloves, and goggles, depending on if you were going into a environment where maybe somebody had COVID.
Wow.
So yeah, and we still we're you know, I we will get into it, but obviously we're not out of the, you know, it's still quite prevalent, you know, the COVID cases. So we've actually recently been asked as multidisciplinary team to possibly go in and to volunteer. This has just happened last week. So since I've spoken to you, we've been asked to perhaps volunteer to go in areas where there's real staff shortages, because at this stage there's a lot of shortages with the front line, so like with nurses and with healthcare.
Yes. So wait a minute, fresh off the presses, you're not going back in, and now they want you to be on the ground on the floor?
On the floor, yeah. So we're back in our offices. We're back, you know, in the set, actually half and half. We're half and half back. They still encourage people to work from home as well. But I think it's nice to just go in and break the routine from working from home to actually just go into the office. We are back functioning, but we've been asked now to also just volunteer for those. But at the moment it is on a voluntary basis, but there is quite a lot of this, a high percentage of staff shortages because of the guidelines now that if you have symptoms, you're supposed to isolate. Years back, you just have a cold and you'd probably go into work because maybe it's just a sore throat or, you know, you just feel run down. You just go in because it wouldn't be a full-blown cold or flu. But now, if you have any of those symptoms, you're not supposed to go into work.
How for you, because I can imagine with all of this going on, switching back and forth.
So that leads to a lot of shortages on the... Say that again.
I said for you, how does that work? Because there's a lot of shortages on the floors. There is a lot of shifting back and forth. This sounds like a whirlwind to me, and I'm in it along with you. Yeah. And with this, how did you start realizing that you were going through burnout? What were some of your symptoms for you?
I think you like I had mentioned before, you almost like certain things you just to manage yourself and just to get through your own workload, I would stop checking my emails, or you know, I would just say I'm just gonna try and finish what I have to finish. Instead of when you check your emails, you get new referrals, you have to respond to things. You could spend an hour just, you know, replying to emails. So I know it seems basic, but for me that was a mechanism that I use to just block out some of the, you know, things coming at you and just try and finish things that was on your list, your to-do list to finish. But we are supposed to be checking emails on a daily basis in case we miss anything, you know, but that just meant more things coming at you when you're trying to finish stuff that's already on your desk. So that was just one thing that I know I just had to say, I can't actually even check my emails until I sort other things out, because it was just coming at us all the time. And of course, with COVID, a lot of the service users, because they weren't as active, I work with people with intellectual disabilities and physical disabilities. So their mobility decreased because they were now more, you know, passive and sedentary in their homes. So we saw a huge surge of referrals as well, because of a decline in people's mobility. So for me, it was more just trying to manage. You can only do what you can do to be able to cope, you know. And a lot of us were saying the same thing, you know, the occupational therapist and my colleagues, physiotherapists as well. You can only do what you can do, you know. How else from a burnout? I suppose even just making sure that I get enough rest, you know, that when I do get home, because of COVID, in any case, we were very icy. You just come home, you wouldn't really be going out a lot. Just making sure that I would rest a lot and just get enough sleep, you know, to face another day or just to be bright enough for another day. I'm not really an exercise person, so I can't say that I went out to, you know, some people use that to kind of help with their stress levels. For me, I'm more a just like go and sleep, if you know, go and rest. If you get feel overwhelmed, just go and rest. As I suppose as a Christian, even just, you know, reading the Bible, praying, so things like that, just to kind of cope, you know, just to feel you can cope, because it wasn't going to go away. You know, you just had to find a way to deal with it and, you know, work with it.
It sounds like you found good coping skills, and you talked about not checking the emails as one of the symptoms for you. Was there any like physical fatigue? Did you find yourself really tired? How did that look as far as the physical symptoms of your burnout?
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, definitely fatigue. And like I said, because I didn't, you'd be so tired at the end of the day, like, you know, mentally tired, you know, in your head, kind of just tired. And like I said, I wasn't really motivated to exercise. So you just, I found that I, you know, put on weight, you know, because I would just be come home and just be so tired, you know, that I would just either, you know, sit or lie or sleep. So it had an effect on my body as well, you know, like I know a lot of people feel that they put weight on over, you know, with COVID, but you just felt, you know, drained, you know. It didn't affect my sleep, because for me, when I'm stressed, I actually sleep more. But I think that is good, you know. I think our bodies need that reset, you know. It didn't disturb my sleep, you know, that I would say it disturbed my sleep. I didn't, like, I'm not an overeater that I would eat to cope. I think for me, it was more just that when I'd come home and when the day was finished, I would just say, well, that's it now. I've done what I could do. I'm just going to rest now. And I'm a single parent myself. So, you know, my children needed attention as well. It was tough. I think the toughest thing was the adapting to the change of working ways, you know. And like I said, then it was when we had to come out of working from home, when we had just kind of established a routine, it was okay, now you can go back to work again, where, you know, everybody's vaccinated, you can go back in. So it was almost like, oh, but I'm so used to being at home now. And anyway, we made the shift. I'm now used to going back in again.
How was like that experience when you had to go back? Like, did you find yourself kind of dreading it? Did you find yourself a little anxious? How was that experience for you going back into the office?
Yeah, I mean, you still, first of all, I suppose you still had the worry about COVID, that you would contract COVID. So you even just having to come overcome that in your head, that it's okay to go, and you just have to go. All kind of moved. Anybody who was sharing offices, we were kind of separated so that we were in one office where it was possible, one person per office, or spaced out to have cross infection. Yeah, it felt strange because having to go out. I think we all have become nearly socially, you know, socially isolated, you know. But then we are such adaptable creatures as well. Now I'm back, now you're adapted again to going back. So now it's just that initial, you know, when you have to make that shift to, oh, we're going back to work. But now it's fine. I think we just adjust as creatures, we just adjust to new situations. It was good to be back.
Okay.
It was good to be back and to be back as a team and to, yeah.
How did you deal with the burnout and not get mother burnout? You know, many times people talk about the burnout at the job, but the burnout at the job can affect coming home to your babies. How did you avoid that from the job rolling over to infecting your babies?
That was tough because especially when I was working from home, you had to keep up the routines at home, you know, dropping the kids to school, picking them up from school, and just all those routines. And then I had the, you know, I was working from home with the laptop. It felt to me like all they saw was a mom on a laptop all the time because you're trying to, you know, manage both. So that was a challenge. And also sometimes, you know, instead of maybe going in for 9, you know, I'd maybe start later on with the idea that I would just work later on in the day. So I'd find myself still on the laptop till 6 o'clock or, you know, 7 o'clock, which was crazy. So it was just, I think for a lot of people trying to manage home life, you know, while working from home, it was very hard to have routines, you know, for well, it was for me in any case. So that's what now that's why I actually appreciate being back in work because now I'm if I'm done with the day, I don't bring my laptop home. And that's another way that I'm dealing with it, you know, that I leave work, you know, because you have to take care of yourself. If you get burned out, if you get sick, you know, that you're just going to be replaced. So now I'm conscious that, you know, my work day is over. The laptop doesn't come home with me unless I have a meeting that I have to attend, a Zoom meeting from home, but I try to keep that as minimal as possible. And then when I'm home, you know, and I'm present at when I'm at home. So I think you just have to be so intentional in terms of separating, you know, work and being a parent, you know, being at home when you're home. And especially as a single parent, you know.
I love how you talked about being intentional and really taking the time to make sure that you're being that present parent. I know for so many people, this COVID time is probably the most time they've ever spent with their husbands, their wives, and their children, if you look at that compared to a regular day. Now, my part to this for you is you found a great way to balance now that you're back in the office. Do you feel like at any point you're going to be making any decisions whether you want to stay in this environment or whether you want to go?
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. I'm already working on a way to change careers. I don't know if I want to stop being an occupational therapist because it's so part of me, but I'm looking at starting an online business and have for the last year, because of when COVID started, and it was almost COVID urged me to start looking at a way to earn from home. I'm 20 years in my current, you know, the where I work with the company that I work. Sometimes you just feel it's time to move on, but I don't necessarily want to move on to another company or another service. I want to work for myself, you know, and be more flexible, you know, working. But obviously, I think it's nice to have some security. So I'd like to just maybe even go more part-time while I'm building up my own business, just to have that security, and then eventually, Lord willing, whatever way it works, then I would just quit completely. But like I said, it's just that's inside of me. I love the people that I work with. I love the because I know them for 20 years, you know, the actual clients that I work with because it's long-term residential. So it's not like a hospital setting where people are in and out, you know. We do, you know, so that's part of the job that I like, you know, that you that those connections with people, you know. So yeah, I mean, eventually I would like to leave more to just work to be more available at home. But you kind of know when the time is right, you know, when it's time to move on. I certainly can't see myself working until retirement, which would be another 20 years for me. You know, I can't see myself doing what I'm doing now, you know, for the next 20 years. But then we don't know what tomorrow holds. Only God knows.
I agree with that. So if you had any last words, if there were any employers listening, any CEOs, what would you want them to know in this process? What would be a word that you want them to share with their employees or something you want to tell them?
You know, I think remaining human, and I think sometimes we think we remain human and in touch with, you know, our employees, but it doesn't always come across that way, especially when decisions are made, which even though on paper it's, you know, we say it's all about, you know, the health and wellness and the health, the well-being of employees, but when it comes down to the actual, you know, what it looks like on the floor, like in terms of, I know they're trying to protect and to provide a service. I'm talking about our CEOs now in the company that I work with. I know that they are coming from a place where they want to protect and make sure that they provide a service for the individuals that we support. But I would take a step, so that's why they've asked, like people like ourselves, the multidisciplinary team, to go in and help with staff shortages. But I would take a step back and say, well, staff are getting burned out, or if we keep asking people to take on more than what they can, because there's been so many things that we've been asked to take on extra, you know, over the last 2 years, you know, staff are going to get burned out. And instead of just making decisions, come together and maybe have focus groups, or, you know, have breakout groups, or even just, it doesn't have to be face to face, but on Zoom, and let's figure this out together instead of making the decision, you know, at the time, whoever needs to, you know, to implement the decisions. Because no matter how much the CEOs or the top managers think that they're taking on board the needs of everybody, you can't really if you don't have a conversation. Do you know what I mean? How do you really know what people are feeling? Or like people have been moved around. Like I say, and people are just like, if you listen to me saying that I've had to adapt, nurses and healthcare workers have had to adapt even more because they were constantly being shifted around, you know, and to the point that you always almost feel selfish if you say no. To say, like, most of us have said, we do not think that we'll be volunteering, you know, for going out on the floor. But in the back of my mind, you think of the nurses and the healthcare workers who just did not have a choice. They were just told, you know, go here, go there, go every, you know. But I think that there's different ways that we can handle the crisis now with staff shortages. I think we could take radical. I think, you know, over the years we've implemented so many extra procedures, risk assessments, you know, paperwork that we didn't do years back. Years back, it was just about taking care of the people that we were working with, making sure that they're safe and fed. And, you know, now there's so many policies and procedures. I just feel that in the current climate of COVID and staff shortages, why not just take a step back and say, let's just manage, let's manage what we can, and just put on hold some of the things that cannot be done now, you know, because for now we just want to keep people safe and prevent burnout, you know. But that's not taking place, which we're having to keep everything that's, you know, that we have to do on top of, you know, staff shortages and dealing with COVID and the fear of, well, it's not fear, but just as much as you can avoid getting it, you want to avoid getting it, you know. So I would just say, can we have more conversation? Can we have more, you know, take a step back, you know, and say, this thing isn't going away, you know, even though there's actually more cases now, even with people, obviously with people being vaccinated, but I think that's just because everything is open at the moment, so there's more circulation and people are moving around.
Well, you know what? I couldn't say it any better, y'all. I mean, you really gave me a great last word. It's for us to go back to being more human and having more conversations, and really not just having the conversation, but really listening to each other so that we can help one another. Well, I definitely want to thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley Show, where helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.